We are convinced that we have already accumulated evidence that a more rational evolution is before us, that death is a change somewhat similar to birth. Indeed, it is so stated in those books which are day by day so grossly misinterpreted, and that we do indeed rise again, not, however, in our present natural body, but in a spiritual body, a vehicle of highly attenuated matter, invisible to mortals through their ordinary channels of sense, but as real as the body we now possess, and far more alive than we have ever been before. We can, therefore, join in the triumphant paean of Morris, "Exult, O dust and ashes! Rejoice, all ye that are dead, for ye live too who lie beneath, as we live who walk overhead. As God lives, so ye are living and moving today, not as they live who breathe and move, yet living and conscious as they. And ye too, O living, exult. Young and old, exult and rejoice, for the Lord of the quick and the dead lives still. We have heard his voice. We have heard his voice, and we hear it sound wider and more increased, to the sunset plains of the west from the peaks of the furthest east. For the quick and the dead it was given, for them it is sounding still, and no pause of silence shall break the clear voice of Thy infinite will." Appendix A. Waking the so-called dead on January 1, 1909, owing to the courtesy of Mr. E. C. Randall, of Buffalo, N.Y., I made the acquaintance of Mr. Leander Fisher, a professor of music in that city. This gentleman, then over 50 years of age, had participated in some remarkable seances between the years 1875 and 1900, which were arranged for the special purpose of helping the so-called dead to realize their position, and thus assisting them to pass naturally into spiritual life. The events at these meetings, especially those about the year 1890, were faithfully recorded, and he showed me a pile of documents 2 feet high, not one of which had been published for L. I asked permission to take some of them to England in order that my countrymen should be informed of this apostrophe mission work, a phase of spirit manifestation to which they were strangers, at any rate so far as the direct voice was concerned. Mr. Fisher and Mr. Randall selected 12 records, and had them copied for me. They are now printed in this appendix to my book. In my opinion, it is undesirable for any investigator to record experiences in the body of his work which he has not himself witnessed. But it must not be supposed that I have the smallest doubt as to the strict fidelity of these documents. The high character of Mr. Leander Fisher is sufficient voucher for their authenticity. As will be seen in the records, he was sometimes in trance, but at others normal, and joined in the conversation. Mr. and Mrs. Bailey and Mrs. Fisher, his mother, people and F. the highest reputation in Buffalo, were normal throughout, as was Mrs. Eggleston, the stenographer, whose affidavit adds value to the manuscript. I made inquiries as to whether any of the spirits thus brought, tactfully, to understand that they had entered a new state of consciousness, had been satisfactorily identified. The reply was that many had been discovered, but after several had been verified, it was considered useless to go on searching for the relatives and places of abode in earth life of the remainder. Such inquiries involved much time and labor, and always ended with the same result. Nor were the verifications of value to any but doubters, to whom the personality of Eva was unknown. The records were only of use to the circle, and were not expected to see the light. They satisfied the sitters, and that was enough. The book Thoughts from the Inner Life, by D. E. Bailey, Colby and Ridge, Publishers, Boston, 1886, still in many libraries, is a good introduction to the narrative of the seances. Mr. E. C. Randall's experiences with Mrs. French, the Rochester medium, mentioned elsewhere in this book, were similar to those of the Baileys and Fishers with Mrs. Swain, but, of course, the great charm, the presence of the spirit of Eva was not available. W.U.N. Affidavits. United States of America, State of New York, S.S. County of Erie, City of Buffalo. Leander Fisher, being duly sworn, doth depose and say, that he is upwards of 50 years of age, and resides at 143 Lodge Avenue, in the city of Buffalo. That Marcia M. Swain died in the city of Buffalo in about the year 1900, 81 years of age, and deponent had known said Marcia M. Swain since about the year 1876. She was a woman of great refinement and rare qualities, and a great psychic, and working with her in the usual way we had the independent voice of spirit people from the year 1876 to 1900, a period of 25 years. During that 25 years Daniel E. Bailey, then residing at 507 Porter Avenue, Mary E. Bailey, his wife, and Sarah M. Fisher, my mother, worked with us usually. Mr. Daniel E. Bailey was a man of large wealth, and at the time of his death in the 90s he made provision for the support of Mrs. Swain during her life. She was never a public medium, nor did she give seances for money. She devoted the latter years of her life in conjunction with our company in an effort to understand death, so-called, and the condition of the individual following dissolution. The seances with Mrs. Swain were sometimes held at my home, but more often at the house of Daniel E. Bailey on Porter Avenue, who has published some of the teachings that were received through Eva, his daughter in spirit life, and the group of people working with her and controlling Mrs. Swain's circles. Certain phases of said seances have not been made public, that is our mission work. It is not generally known that many people after the change called death do not awake in the sphere in which they have become an inhabitant readily, and are brought into circles such as we made, and in the material vibrations prevailing, were awakened, and of course not understanding that they had separated from the physical, were at a loss to understand the situation, and it was our duty and our pleasure, aided by spirit friends, to awaken them to a full realization of their condition, and suggest to them the way by which they could come to a greater understanding of spirit life, and so aid their progression. For years Aileen M. Eggleston, now residing at 217 Tryon Place in the city of Buffalo, was employed as a stenographer, and having by practice the ability to write in the dark, reported our conversation with spirit people in shorthand, and annexed here two other stenographic minutes of 12 seances under date of September 18, 1890, September 25, 1890, October 19, 1890, October 23, 1890, October 26, 1890, December 4, 1890, July 16, 1591, July 18, 1889, May 25, 1890, May 29, 1890, June 10, 1890, and September 12, 1890, giving illustrations of what is known as mission work among spirit people. The spirit in the minutes called Tom at times entranced and took possession of physical organism of one of our circle from time to time, and talked with other spirits. This is a necessary explanation of the stenographic reports. I understand that there are few places in the world where this mission work is understood or done. I have had the privilege of sitting many times in the last 18 years with Edward C. Randall, of Buffalo, who has been carrying on a similar work with Emily S. French, of Rochester, the finest psychic living at the present time, with results superior to those I carried on with Marcia M. Swain. The annexed 12 stenographic reports are copies of originals in my possession, and those 12 reports are true records of the conversations that took place between ourselves and the spirit people on the dates therein mentioned. Leander Fisher. Subscribed and sworn to before me, this 11th day of February, 1909. E. C. Randall, Commissioner of Deeds, in and for the City of Buffalo, and Y number 266 Sparkdale Avenue, Buffalo, and Y June 17, 1911. Dear Sir, we beg herewith to certify to the demonstrations of independent spirit voices, which occurred at the home of Mr. Daniel Bailey, on Porter Avenue, in this city. We sat regularly in this circle twice a week for about 2 years, Mrs. Eggleston transcribing the conversation directly in stenographic writing. As the same people were present each time and rigid conditions were strictly adhered to, we do vouch the spirit voices could not be otherwise than genuine. There could be no possible reason for fraud. Yours very truly, L. H. Eggleston. Aileen S. Eggleston. Sworn to before me this 17th day of June, 1911. Daniel Hurley, Notary Public, Erie County, NY Thursday evening, July 18, 1889, a poor soul is coming who was run over by the cars, and had his leg cut off. He was thrown onto a side track, and became unconscious, and, while unconscious, another train ran over him and killed him. Eva. S.O.O. Must I die alone? Die alone, die alone, die alone. Oh, that was dreadful, dreadful. Where is it? Where is the train? Where is the train? Oh, I will never get home. I must go home. I must go home. Go home. Go home. Mr. B, you have been very badly hurt, friend, haven't you? S. Oh, yes, I thought when I saw it, oh God. When I saw it come rumbling along and I felt the jar. Mr. B, you thought you were going to lose your limb, didn't you? S. Yes. Mr. B, you feel better now, don't you? S. Yes. Mr. B, you were pretty badly hurt. S. Oh, there it goes, there, there, oh my, Mr. B, but it is all over now. S. Oh, my leg is broken, it is all crushed up. Mr. B, yes, but it will soon be all right. Mrs. B, there is a good doctor here that will fix you all right. S. Oh, doctor, do you think you can help me? It pains me, it pains me. Mr. B, it won't pain you much more. That pain will all be taken away in a little while. Mrs. B, this doctor here has helped a great many people with broken limbs. S. Oh, it is smashed. It must be smashed. Mr. B, yes, but not so badly but what it will be all right in a short time. S. Will you have to take it off? Oh, I would rather you would kill me than be maimed for life. I don't want it taken off. I can't have it taken off. Mr. B, no, you won't have to have it taken off. It will be all right soon. S. Oh, there, the row. Oh, Mr. B, don't you feel better? S. Yes, I feel better. I feel as though I were being put into a vice-like. Do you know what makes it? Mr. B, you were very badly hurt, and the remembrance comes back to you and makes you feel that way. You thought you were going to be killed, didn't you? S. Yes, I certainly thought I was going to be killed, but I knew when it was past that I was only injured. Mr. B, well, when you expected you were going to be killed, you expected to live after death, didn't you? S. I didn't think anything about it. Mr. B, didn't you ever think about it? S. Yes, sometimes. Mr. B, did you believe that you lived after death? S. Well, I wanted to live after death if I could be happy. If I could not, I did not want to live. Mr. B, but it makes no difference whether a person is happy or unhappy. If it is one of the laws that we do live after death, why, we have to live, and our happiness depends on the life we led in earth life. If we were kind to a good many people, we would have a happy life in the future. But a great many times, when people are killed or die suddenly, they don't know they have made the change. They don't know they were killed. Spirit life is so natural to them, it seems just like earth life for the time being. S. Is that so? Mr. B. Yes, they very often don't know that they have been killed. They seem just themselves. S. Well, if you would just do a little for that limb, I would be glad. Mr. B. Seeing that you were hurt so badly, would you not rather that you would have died? S. Well, I would rather live if I could. I am glad I wasn't killed. Mr. B. You would be surprised if I told you that you were killed, wouldn't you? S. Why, to be sure I would. I am just as much alive as I ever was. Why, I am so sore and lame. Mr. B, but you were killed. S. Was I killed? Mr. B, yes, you are a spirit now, in spirit life. It is just as real to you as earth life, isn't it? S. No, nothing seems real to me. I don't see or feel anything but the rushing and crashing of those cars. Mr. B, you have friends in spirit life, who have brought you here to have you helped. You can throw all that off here, so it will never trouble you again. You know, when you come back to earth, we are mortals, we have not made the change yet, you take on earth conditions. S. Do you do that? Mr. B, spirit friends do that. I can't see you. I haven't been doing anything for you. It is the spirit friends that help you. S. What makes you say that? You said you would help me, and this lady here said you would help me, too, and you have helped me. Mr. B, I may have done it unconsciously, but we help your friends to help you by sitting here and getting the proper conditions. Tom, S, I'll tell you what it is, George, Lizzie is here, and she has come for you. S, Lizzie has come for me? Tom, S, why, yes, and you are going up to live with her, and you are going to be very happy. S, well, I will go. I want to be happy. Tom, S, well, you will be. After a little you won't have any of that unpleasant sensation at all, because I will tell you, George, when that train ran over your leg, you know, well, it knocked you onto the other track, and there was another train coming along, and that just finished you up. S, is that the truth? Tom, S, yes, that is the truth, George, but never mind, because you have got into a lovely place. Lizzie is waiting for you. You are going to get all fixed up here, and you are going to get ready to go to her. S, well, I will go. Tom, S, why, of course you will go, and she is so glad that you are coming to her. Little Dottie is here, too. S, oh, Dottie, Dottie. Well, I don't mind it, then, I am glad. Does Lizzie know that the train ran over me? Tom, S, yes, she knows it, because we always know when anything happens to those we love. She was right there. She knew when it happened, but you didn't know, so she had you brought here to learn about it and get you all fixed up. S, is Lizzie here, and can I go to heaven? Tom, S, why, of course you can go to heaven. I would not wonder but what you would see something. You look up above you to your right now. S, it makes my head feel bad. Tom, S, because you have not got right yet. It is quite bad for anybody to go out so sudden like. It is a great shock to the spirit, and you one have been brought here to get the spirit right, and then you will be in nice order to go up to where Lizzie is. S, I will go. Tom, S, George, Grandpa is here, too, and Richard is here. S, oh, is Richard here? Tell them I want to see them. Tom, S, you will see them in a little time. They know you have got to be made ready first to come to them. You have got to understand that you have made the change. S, oh, oh, I am falling, Tom, S, oh, that's all right, George, don't get frightened. S, I thought I was falling down, never to stop. Tom, S, oh, no, George, you mustn't get frightened when that goes off. It won't hurt you. S, I don't remember you. Tom, S, no, I don't know you. S, you talk to me as if you knew me. Tom, S, well, all I know is what your friends tell me. S, are they talking to you? Tom, S, well, they told me before I came here that you were coming, and that I should see you, and they told me that your name was George, and that Lizzie was here, and little Dottie, and then they told me about your grandfather, and about Richard, and I was to tell you that. S, well, I thank you. Tom, S, oh, no. S, yes, I am very thankful to you. Tom, S, all of these good people here are sitting here to help poor souls like you, that have met with such accidents and don't know that they have got out of the body. S, how kind you are. Tom, S, you have made the change called death, but there is no death, it is only a change. I have made the change too. I am a spirit talking through this young man here. S, you are talking through him. Why, how do you do that? Tom, S, you watch now, can you see me plain? You watch and I will come out of him and show you. S, you will come out of him. Oh dear, what do you mean? Tom, S, now you watch, you look. S, oh my, oh my. That is very strange. Mr. TH, what do you see? S, oh, it is a man, the smoke is made into a man. S, my, oh my, it is most wonderful. Mr. B, what do you see now? S, why, he went back into him like vapor. Tom, S, now, didn't I tell you? That is the way it is done. You see, I'm in the spirit life. S, can you get into everybody like that? Tom, S, oh, no. Only those whose organism is so constituted. We call them instruments. You call them mediums. S, rapping mediums? Tom, S, no. He is one through whom we can talk and use his organism that way. S, is that young man dead? Tom, S. Oh, no, he isn't dead, he is still in Earth life. We have to show these things so that you will understand them, you see. Well, I declare. If there isn't the funniest looking old woman here, and she tells me to say that Aunt Polly is here. S. Aunt Polly. Aunt Polly. Is she here? Tom, S. Maybe she will show herself to you. S. I can't see her anywhere. Tom, S. Just look up to your right a little. S. Oh, yes, I see her, but she is so far away. Tom, S. She will come nearer after a little. She has held you on her knee many a time. S. Yes, that is true, that is very true. Tom, S. Now look, George. S. Do they live up in that world? Tom, S. You are going up there to them after a little. S. When am I going? Tom, S. You have to get ready first. S. How can I get ready? Tom, S. We will show you how. S. Oh, do, do. Tom, S. That is the reason you have been brought here tonight, to learn about it. You have to learn about it first, you know. You are going to a beautiful place, and you are going to be very happy. You have got to get over this shock. You know, it was a great shock to your spirit to leave your body in the manner you did, so suddenly, and so you have been brought here to get all straightened up, because you didn't know that you had made the change. Now you won't have any more trouble, we have fixed you all up now. S. The doctor said something that worries me. He said he would fix me all right, and then when I got all right he said he didn't do anything for me, but I think he felt sorry for me, and said he did nothing because he didn't want to take any pay. Tom, S. These people don't sit here for pay, George, because, you know, you couldn't pay them if you wanted to. You know, we have got through with money now. These good people have got a bright, beautiful daughter that is in spirit life, and they are helping on one side while she is helping on your side of life. They are sitting here to help their daughter, too. S. On my side of life? Tom, S. Your spirit has left your body, and you have a spiritual body now. It is like your old body. Your spiritual body is clothed with earth material now, so that you can talk to these people, but after a little that material will be removed from you, and then you won't be able to talk to them at all. That will be a new experience for you. That is what you felt that was falling down. The earth material that you are clothed with was taken away from you, and every time they take it away from you you will feel better. S. Oh, that is good, isn't it? I wish you would speak to them for me. Tom, S. Oh, they can hear just what you say. S. Will they come to me? Tom, S. Yes, they will come to you. Now you look. S. Yes, I see. Tom, S. Do you see all the hands beckoning to you to come? S. There is no way of getting up there. Tom, S. Oh, yes, there is. S. I see no road up there at all. Tom, S. You don't need to go by the road. S. How will I go? Tom, S. I will take you and show you the way. There will be lots that will help you. There is a nice little girl that comes here, too. Perhaps she will help you. Maggie, S. Yes, dear man, if you will come with me I will take you, but you will have to go way around and go down a little hill. Will you come with me? S. Why, yes, you dear little one, I will go with you. Do you know my friends? Maggie, S. Yes, I know them, because we all know everybody that it is right for us to know. Now come right along. Here is my hand and here are some flowers. I will fix these right on your bosom, and then you will feel better, because you will smell the scent of these beautiful flowers, and that will give you strength. We will have to go down that little hill first, and then I will show you something real pretty, and then after a little while I will take you to the road that leads to your friends, and they will come and meet you. Now come. Good night, everybody. Sunday evening, May 25, 1890. I will present one tonight who passed away in his sleep, and doesn't realize that he has made the change. Eva. S. Well, if that don't beat the devil. Mr. B., what beats the devil? S. Who are you? Mr. B., my name is Bailey. S. What are you doing here? Why don't that girl bring the breakfast? Mr. B., she hasn't heard you order it yet. S. Well, it is high time, I have rung that bell until I am tired. Mr. B, she hasn't heard the bell. There has something happened to you. S, well, something will happen to you or somebody else pretty soon. Tom, well, I would like to know what you are storming around here for like that. S, get out of here. Tom, no, I won't get out, and you can't make me get out, either. I would like to know where you think you are, anyway. S, who are you? Tom, you will find out very soon, and I am not going to get out. You are nothing but a man, S, you are nothing but a D-fool. Moses. Moses. Come here. Put this D-rascal out. Tom, it will take more than Moses. Moses and Aaron both together couldn't put me out. S, well, well, this is strange. What the devil can those folks mean, to leave me all this time? Tom, don't you think when you are alone you are in pretty good company? S, I can't understand what business you have here. Tom, I have business here, and I am going to stay until I get ready to go. S, get out of this house. Tom, not a bit of it. I came here to help you. S, D funny way of helping anybody. Get out of this house, you D thief. Tom, I would not soil my tongue with such language as that. It don't become a fine gentleman like you. S, what business have you here? Tom, I think you are a little off. We'll have to take you to a lunatic asylum. S, such impudence. Such impudence. You D rascal, get out of this. Tom, that's right, free your mind, and then, perhaps, you will be easy. Do you think it is nice to say anything to anybody else that you wouldn't like to have said to you? S, oh, you impudent puppy, you. You impudent puppy, you. Tom, if you could tell the truth, perhaps I would feel bad, but as I know that you are not telling the truth, it don't make me feel a bit bad. S, the sooner you get out of here the better it will be for you, you D-Irish pup. Tom, I am not the least bit alarmed or disturbed over your bright conversation. I know it is very brilliant, coming from a man of your ability and your mind, but still, it doesn't affect me one bit. S, what business have you here in my house? Tom, perhaps, if you knew how to be civil, have any control over your tongue and make it say civil things, you will find out. S, what do you want? What brought you here in the first place? Tom, I came here to talk to you. S, I don't wish to have any conversation with you, unless you have some special business. Tom, I have special business with you. S, well, say what it is at once, at once. Tom, don't you be in a hurry. There is plenty of time. One of the greatest things for you to learn is to keep cool and keep a civil tongue in your head. The trouble with you is, the latter part of your life you have been ordering people around so much that you have got that way with you, that I don't know as you can hardly help it, it has become kind of second nature to you. S, no more of your impudence. Tom, years ago S, leave my house. Tom, but I won't. Years ago, when you worked for Mr. Smith, you had to do as Mr. Smith said. S, you scoundrel. Moses. Moses. Come here. Tom, James. See here, James. James. S, who are you talking to? Tom, I am talking to you, that is your name. S, what right have you to speak that way to me? Tom, I would like to know if anyone hasn't a right to call a man by his name. S, I will not put up with that. Tom, do you remember what you put in the barrel when you were working for Mr. Smith? S, what do you know about it? What business is that of yours? Tom, don't you think that would look nice in the paper? Couldn't we write up a nice little newspaper article, what James hid in the barrel when he worked for Mr. Smith? Have it put in big type. How much will you give me to have it put in the paper? Wouldn't it advertise you fine? What do you suppose Deacon Jones would say to that? S, who the devil told you all this? Tom, perhaps the devil told me, who knows? S, I believe you are the devil himself. Get out of here. Tom, well, if I am the devil, I don't think I have ever been in such bad company in my life. I think you could teach the devil 3 or 4 tricks that he doesn't know, because he would never have thought of putting that in the barrel. S, it seems that I am left to the mercy of this vile creature. Tom, do you call me a vile creature? I am sorry for you. I will forgive you before you ask me. S. What have I to ask your forgiveness for? I don't wish to have any more conversation with you at all, none whatever. Tom, say, what do you think about beans? S. Say, young lady, couldn't you call my valet? Mrs. E. No, I couldn't, because I don't know where your valet is. But this Irishman that you have been talking to will tell you if you will only listen to him. He is a good man, and wants to help you. S. He has a very queer way of showing his goodness, I think. Mrs. E. That is because you don't understand him.